trees began to go through, they began to sink deeper and deeper and deeper into the mud. Finally, they were up to the hub. Hugo's wagon stopped. He said, "Boys, you're going to have to get out and push." He says, "Can't pull you through here." He says, "Look at the horse. It's almost up to his stomach." He said, "Come on, get out."
"Who do you think's going to get out in that mud?" He said, "Up to my waist."
He said, "Well, we're not going to get this wagon out of here unless you guys get off."
He said, "How about you getting off?" And he said, "Let me drive."
He says, "All right." He says, "You can drive. I'll go out and push it." He says, "All of you guys just stay here and I'll push." The guys looked at each other. He says, "Come on, Hugo, we'll help you." So Hugo started getting down, and Skeeter and his wagon, Jackie's wagon, and the boys in it was bogged down too. They start getting out. Finally, Skeeter said, "Boy, look at this mud." He said, "You could make a snowball out of it." Jackie says, "Out of that, a snowball?" He said, "Yeah, look." And he wadded it up and he threw it just as Hugo Barnes was climbing down, right smack in the face. Hugo reached up and wiped the mud off his face. "Who did that?" He said, "I don't know. I wasn't looking." One of the boys pointed to Skeeter. Hugo picked up a big ball of mud. Whammo! Skeeter ducked and it hit Jackie right in the face. Jackie wiped his face. He says, "You want to play rough, huh?"
Yeah. He said, "Hey, Hugo, you look funny."
Jackie whammed it at Hugo, and Hugo ducked and right in horse's face.
Hey. And finally said, "Boy, that's going to get you."
And finally, horse got down, and he began to throw it down. And finally, the mud balls were going right and left, all over the place, just a flying from the boys in dormitory G. And finally, the whole place looked like a big explosion of mud balls. Finally, Mr. Woodworth and the headmaster drove up in the buckboard, and Jackie says, hey, there's Mr. Woodworth. Ski said, "Where?" And he let one go. Mr. Woodworth saw it coming, he ducked. He hit the headmaster right in the face. He wiped the mud from his face, stepped down from the buggy, started to roll up mud balls, and he began to pepper it back at Skeeter and the Jackie and all of them. Mr. Woodworth was in there, and finally they were fighting back and forth, and finally Mr. Woodworth said, "All right, boys." The headmaster says, "Hugo Barnes?"
"Yes, sir."
Says, "Come here."
"Yes, sir."
"Is Skeeter Hoyt?"
"Yes, sir."
"Come here."
"Yeto."
Says, "You boys started this, right?"
"Yeto."
You go look down, he says, "Yes, sir." He says, "I heard about what happened. I heard about the way you saved Skeeter's life." And he said, "I want to say one thing." He says, "I've never had so much fun throwing mud balls in my life." He said, "This is one of my happiest days." He said, "Really?" He says, "Well, don't I look at it? Look at me." He said, "You two look funny with mud all over you." He says, "All right, boys, we'll get to the school." He says, "We're going to get everything washed up." So they finally left. And the boys, when they got home, nobody could recognize them. They didn't go. They were covered with mud from head to toes, complete solid mud. They went in the horse tank and over the cow shed in the trough and began to wash up and wash their clothes, and finally they got themselves all cleaned up. But it was something they talked about for many, many days, especially how Hugo Barnes rescued Skeeter. And finally, it was on Wednesday afternoon when all the boys crowded around the bulletin board. And there was a big notice: all boys are required to come to the gym at 1 o'clock Wednesday, a very important meeting. Everybody questioned everybody else. "What's it about? What's it about?" "I don't know. I don't know." When they got there, they knew it wasn't a happy event. They saw the headmaster practically in tears. They saw Mr. Woodward and the other teachers. The boys came in and sat down and only whispered. Finally, when everybody was there, the headmaster came forward, said, "Boys, the first thing I want to do before I tell you why we call this meeting is to ask Hugo Barnes to come here." Hugo Barnes came up on the stage, said, "Hugo Barnes, for your bravery in saving your fellow brother," he says, "I'm going to restore the bars back to you." And there was applause and cheers. Hugo left the stage with tears in his eyes. He says, "Now, boys, I don't know how to tell you this, but Mr. Waverly, the banker, has just informed me that he's going to foreclose on the school. You know, or maybe you didn't know, we owe over $5,000 on the mortgage. He had informed me that we must pay the money by Friday or get out. And that means all boys. Remember, we had one more week of school, but I guess we'll not be able to finish that. To most of you, this has been your home. It's been my home. But we will have to vacate."
He said, "But Jack," he said, "I've got money. I've got 35 cents. He said, "I could give that."
He said, "But that's over $5,000. He said, "Even Tom wouldn't have that, I don't think, to."
"Finally, boys, I'm going to ask you, according to the notice from the sheriff, by Friday at 12 o'clock noon," he says, "you must vacate the premises. That means you'll have to get your luggage across the street. In fact, he had told me that if it isn't paid, then we are all trespassing on private property and we will be subject to arrest. So we have until Friday noon. If you have someone that can come and get you, or if you have time to write," he says, "I wish you'd do so." And that's all. He says, "Your teachers will tell you the rest." And he left. The boys very slowly left the building. There was no cheering or clapping. Most of them had tears in their eyes. And Hugo Barnes was the first one. He says, "I don't care about myself. I can find a place, but where's the headmaster going? He lived all his life here." He said, "Yeah." He said, "I've got a home." And finally, Bowie said, "Well, I can go with my dad on the boat." He says, "Sure, but where's Mr. Woodward going? He lives here." He says, "Well, I don't know." That evening when they're in their room, there was a knock at the door. "Come in." It was Mr. Woodward. "Good evening, boys." "Oh, hi, Mr. Woodward. Come in. Sit down, sit down." "Thank you." He said, "I just want to say goodbye." He said, "I probably won't get to see you Friday." He said, "I want to apologize for not being able to finish the school, but there isn't a chance that we can get that much money." He said, "Mr. Waverly was very, very emphatic about it. We will be arrested, and we don't want that."
He said, "But I have got some money I could give you."
He said, "I don't think that's enough." He says, "Well, anyway, good luck, Jackie. You've been a great student, Skeeter and Mogai. We were real happy with all of you. Maybe someday we'll meet again."
"Where are you going, Mr. Woodward?"
"Oh, I don't know. Just find another school somewhere, someplace." He said, "You boys have places to go. That's great." And as he began to leave, he looked on the dresser. And there were the rock collection that Skeeter had collected. Mr. Woodard picked up the rock. He said, "Mr. Woodard, you like that?" He said, "That's, yes, yes, yes." He said, "You could have it." He said, "You can have those rocks if you want them, Mr. Woodward." He says, "Where'd you get them?" He says, "Where did you get these rocks?" "I didn't take them, I didn't steal them." He says, "Skeeter, where did you get them?" He said, "Blah, blah, blah, blah." Jackie interrupted. "He got him up on the peak. You know where I ran up there in the peak?" I said, "You found those up there, Skeeter?" He said, "Yes, but I didn't mean to steal them. If I'm stealing, I'll put them back." I said, "Never mind, that's school property. That's not stealing." He says, "I'm beginning to put two and two together." He said, "Well, that's easy. That's four." "No, no, I don't mean that." He said, "Do you know what kind of ore this is?"
said, or what? He said, metal. I said, no. He said, this is copper. This is a very rich copper vein. Jackie said, you mean that this is worth money? He said, it's the richest vein I had ever seen. He says, well, this is going to, he said, Skeeter, Jackie, come on with me. He grabbed a couple of these rocks and took them by the boys by the hand, one of them, and held the rocks in the other, and come on. Hugo Barnes saw him whiz by his room. Hey! He said, forget it, we'll see you later. And they went down the steps and over to the headmaster and pounded on his door. Come in. He was very depressed. In fact, he was putting a few things in a few boxes ready to pack. Mr. Woodward says, would you look at these, please? He looked and said, those are very nice. He said, no, you didn't look. He said, look at them again. He said, that's a copper ore. Very good specimen. Excellent specimen. Best I've seen. Now, I've got work to do. He said, no, you're not listening to me again. He says, we found these on school property at Lookout Point on the river. He just about dropped the box he was carrying. You what? He says, Skeeter found them at the point, the Lookout Point. He picked up the ore. He said, this is the richest vein I'd ever seen. He said, that's what I thought. He said, we have no problems. He said, if we take this into town and have it assayed, he said, any bank will loan us the money. He said, any amount we want. He says, do you mind if we go into town? He said, do I mind? He says, you better get going and get going fast. The boys came out there running fast with Mr. Woodward. He said, Jackie, go get the buckboard sag ready. He said, and meet me out in the front. By that time, Hugo and Horse Guy came out. He said, what's going on? He said, well, we found some iron, some copper ore, and we're going to go in and have it assayed, and then we're going to borrow some money, we're going to pay Mr. Waverly back. And pretty soon they were all in the buckboard heading into town. They stopped in front of the bank, Skeeter and Jackie, even Mogai went with them, Horace, Hugo, walked into the bank. The teller looked up, yes, is Mr. Waverly in? He said, who shall I say is calling? He said, never mind who's calling, this is Mr. Woodward from the school. Oh, yes. I'm sorry about the school. He says, may we see him? Well, yes, this way. He opened the door that said private. Mr. Waverly was working behind a desk. Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Woodward. What can we do for you now? He said, don't blame me for what I'm doing. You know you owed me the money for years. It's due. He says, now, I'm a businessman. Now, if you're coming to complain or beg, you can forget it. I didn't come here to beg. Oh, he said, I want you to take a look at this. His eyes just about popped out. He turned a little red. Where did you find this? He said, Lookout Point on school property. There isn't anything like that on the school property. He says, you want me to take you there and show you? He said, no, but he says, what are you going to do with this? He said, we're going to take it and have it assayed, and then we're going to borrow some money from your bank. Well, he said, if that's good copper ore, you mean to tell me that you wouldn't loan us money on that? Well, sure, if it's good, of course, any bank would on ore like that. It's very good grade. He said, well, then we'll have it assayed and we'll come back for our money. Well, yes, well, of course. He said, you bring the report back for me first. The boys left and headed down the street to the assayer's office. Billy, who was the errand boy, was out and back. Mr. Waverly yelled, Billy, come here. He said, fast. Yes, sir. He says, you go down to the assayer's office and you tell Jim that there are some people going to bring some copper ore. He says, I want a very bad report. And he says, if he gives you a funny look, you tell him I'm going to foreclose on his property also. You understand? Yes, sir. He says, go the back way and fast. Billy left like a flash of lightning, came in the back door through the assayer's office who was working. He said, Mr. Waverly said there's some people going to come in here with some copper ore and you're supposed to give it a bad report. And he said, if you don't, he's going to take everything you owe him away from you. He said, well, I can't. He said, that's what he told me, Jim. And he said, you better do as he says. He owns half the town, you know. He said, I'm just warning you. He said, that's all I'm supposed to say. And he left. Just in time, because Mr. Woodward opened the door. He says, good afternoon. Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Woodward. You're from the school. Yes. We have some copper ore I'd like for you to take a look at. he took a glass and looked at it. He said, it looks pretty good, but of course you can't tell by looking at it. He said, it'll take me a while to run some tests. How long would it take? Oh, 30 minutes, 40, maybe an hour. He says, all right, we'll be back in an hour. The boys were really living it up. Mr. Woodworth took them into the restaurant. They had something to eat, and they were really happy because they were celebrating. They were celebrating until they got back to the assayer's office. When they got there, he came from the back room. He said, well, Mr. Woodworth, here's your report. Mr. Woodworth looked at it. You mean it's worthless? He said, I'm sorry, sir. He said, it wouldn't be worth mining. He said, that can't be true. He said, Mr. Woodward, just because you look at it, he said, I ran tests on it. He said, if you want to go mine it, go ahead. He said, it's worthless. Very well. As the boys picked up their rocks and started down the street, they went by the bank. Mr. Waverly saw them. He opened the door. Mr. Woodworth, may I see your report? I have some money ready for you. No, it won't be necessary. You see, the report is not good. It wouldn't be worth mining. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. He said, here I thought I would be of service to you and help you out. Well, thanks anyway, Mr. Waverly. Thanks anyway. The boys got on the buckboard and left. If they could have looked back, they would have seen Mr. Waverly smiling, more of a sneer than a smile. As Billy came and stood in back of him, he looked at Billy and patted him on the head, reached into his pocket, slipped him $5, and said, you're a good boy, Billy. Billy looked up. He said, Mr. Waverly, you know, I don't like to lie. Mr. Waverly smiled. He said, yes, but imagine the money we're going to make off that property. He says, I've been carrying that school for years. He said, now that we know that there's copper on it, he says, I'm the one that's going to be rich. I'll be the richest man in the territory. Yeah. Mr. Waverly, president of the Waverly Copper Company, the richest man in the territory. Billy smiled. He says, and I'll work for you, sir. He says, you bet your boots you will. When the boys and Mr. Woodward got back to the school, all the boys were waiting. They were going to have a big surprise party because John had gone around all the buildings. He said, hey, fellas. He says, come on. He says, Mr. Woodward and Skeeter and all of them are going to bring back a bag of money to pay the school off. Let's have a big celebration. They were all hiding behind bushes and in the dormitories. And soon as Mr. Woodward drove up, the boys all ran out screaming, hooray for Mr. Woodward, Skeeter, Jackie, and they named Hugo and all of them. And finally, when they looked and saw the sad faces on all the boys in the wagon, in the buckboard, they knew something was wrong. Mike rushed up, Mr. Woodward, what's wrong? He said, boys, he stood up so they could all see him. We were told that the ore is of no value whatsoever. The headmaster, who had heard the commotion, rushed out. What did you say, Mr. Woodward? He said, we were told by Jim, the assayer, and by Mr. Waverly, that the ore is absolutely worthless. Well, now, that's very hard to believe. That's what I thought, sir. He said, I'm beginning to think that maybe what Mr. Waverly knows that there's... And I have a feeling that Mr. Waverly knows that there's good copper ore on this property and he wants to get it for himself. He said, but I don't know what we can do about it. Mr. Woodworth went over to the headmaster. He said, may I see you just a second? He said, Hugo, Jackie, Skeeter, he says, come over here. They got in a huddle. He said, look, how far is it to Rimrock? He says, well, it's 8 hours by horseback. He says, you have good horses here. He says, this is what I want, what I'm going to do. I'm going to take that rock and go to Rimrock City. He said, I have a friend there who's an assayer. He said, I have a banker there, a good friend of mine. He said, if you could get some horses and meet me halfway sometime tomorrow. The headmaster said, Mr. Woodward, tomorrow by noon, says, the school won't be ours. It'll belong to Mr. Waverly. He says, I plan to be back. He said, I'm going to leave right now. He says, Hugo. He says, Jackie, go get me the fastest horse you can find. Jack said, yes, sir. And the boys ran down to the stables and brought several horses. Mr. Woodward looked at Hugo. Hugo, he says, tomorrow I want you to come as far as you can with two horses. He said, understand? He said, then I want you to follow me back. He said, because I'm going to ride the legs off these horses. He said, when one gets tired, he said, I want another one right there. Understand? Yes, sir. He said, you want me to go with you, sir? He says, no, only one man can do this alone. He said, I can ride faster. Before anybody knew what was going on, he had grabbed the sack of rocks, jumped on the horse, and disappeared down the road. The boys ran after him. Good luck, Mr. Woodward, good luck. The boys started back into their dormitories. The headmaster spoke. Boys, I think it's a noble thing that Mr. Woodward is going to try to get the money, but I'm afraid it's a little late. I recommend that all of you start your packing. He said, we must be off the premises by tomorrow noon. The boys, with bowed heads, started to walk away because they knew that probably that was true. And as they began to pack, Skeeter began to throw all of his junk into the suitcase. And finally, in the corner of the drawer, he found this little bottle of greenish-blue liquid. Hey, Jackie, he said, you remember this? No, I don't remember that. He said, you know, I found this in Nikolai's room. He says, so? He said, something to remember him by. He said, I like it. He said, I really like it, whatever it is. He said, well, put it away. He says, come on, let's get this stuff back. Mogai, he said, how are you doing? Me pack. He says, my father be very disappointed. Pale faces leave like a scene of battle. He says, why you no stay and fight? He says, because, Mogai, the ways of the white man is that by law we have lost a school. He says, we have law too, bow and arrows. He says, well, we can't fight them with bow and arrows. He says, pack your things. He says, we have to get ready to leave. That evening, the boys were out on the porch, some of them, talking, saying what they were going to do when they got home. Some of the boys were practically in tears because some of them had nowhere to go because they lived there all summer and all winter long. That was their home. And finally, Skeeter looked up and saw Bowie with tears in his eyes. He said, what are you going to do, Bowie? He says, well, I'm going to go with my dad if he ever gets ashore. He said, he's out at sea now and he may not be back for months. He said, you could go home with me. He said, no. He said, I planned to stay at school until he came and picked me up, but he said, I have a grandmother. He said, I suppose I'll stay with her until somebody picks me up. He said, I feel sorry for the other boys, though, that don't have anywhere to go. I have places to go. That evening was probably the worst night the boys had ever spent at the school because they knew they were sleeping there for the last time because tomorrow they had to leave. Jackie had already written a letter home that they would be home because the school was going to be closed. He also knew that Tom probably wouldn't get it in time. The next morning, bright and early at breakfast time, the table looked deserted without Mr. Woodworth, but the boys went ahead. Some of the boys were climbing up on top of the roof to see if they could see any signs of Mr. Woodworth. There was no signs. Little did they know that night, Mr. Woodworth rode like the wind. He finally got to Rimrock City after midnight. The little town, not bigger than Skelton Gulch, Jackie's hometown, or Culver City, was dark and deserted. And when he rode up in town, he stopped and looked around. He began to knock at the assayer's door and pounded and nobody answered. Finally, he decided that he's going to have to fire a gun or do something. He started pounding at the doors and finally he heard somebody yell, "What's going on?" He looked across the street, it was the sheriff. Mr. Wood rushed over, he says, where is the assayer? He says, are you drunk or something? He says, no, sir. He said, I've got to. He said, I'm from Culver City. He said, from the boys' school.
Oh, yes. My name's Mr. Woodward. Oh, Mr. Woodward, yes, we've heard about you. He says you're one of the teachers. He says, look, Mr. Waverly, the banker, knows that we've discovered copper ore. He's going to foreclose by tomorrow noon. Or that would be today. He said, it's past midnight. He said, I've got some ore that's got to be assayed. He said, well, why didn't you tell me that? He says, come on. He says, he's asleep in the back there. He said, we'll go to the back door. He said, come on. They pounded on the back door, and finally somebody came in a nightcap and yawned, lit the lamp. He said, what's going on? Mr. Woodward said, I need some copper ore assayed immediately. Oh, go away, go away. Come back in the morning. The sheriff pushed the door open. He says, now. Oh, it's you. He said, they have to have it right now. He said, it's for the boys at the school. Oh. He said, are they in trouble? Mr. Woodward looked at him. He said, they're in real trouble. We're going to lose the place unless you give me a good report. He said, well, why didn't you say so? He went in the other room and took the ore and looked at it through a glass. He said, I don't need to run a report on this. He says, what do you mean? He said, I've never saw anything this good in my life. Where'd you get this? He says, it's on the school property. He said, well, you've got a school there that's about the richest school in the territory. He says, we won't have unless I get back with some money by 12 noon. He said, and I need a report. He said, I'll tell you what you do. He says, I'll take about 30 minutes. He said, I'll do it real fast. I'll get you a report. He says, where does the banker live? He said, Mr. Jameson? He said, yes, that's him. He says, well, it's the big house at the end of the street. He says, you want me to go with you, Mr., what'd you say? Woodward. He says, no. He says, as long as I know. He says, could I depend on that report? He says, you can bet your bottom dime on it. He said, I'll have it ready. He says, bring the banker up here. Mr. Woodward says, yes, sir. And he tore down the street as fast as he could run to this big red house, two-story house. He began to knock at the door. Finally, there's a man with the nightcap stuck his head out. What's going on down there? He said, I'm Mr. Woodward. I don't care who you are. Go away. He said, don't you know it's 2 o'clock in the morning? He said, I've got to talk to you. He said, I need some money. He said, you're drunk. Go home. He says, come in the morning. He said, Mr. Jameson. He said, my name's Mr. Woodward. He said, I heard you the first time. Go away. And he closed the door, or the window. Mr. Woodward began to hammer on the door. He says, open that window. He pulled the window open. He says, I'm going to call the sheriff. He says, you call the sheriff and he's going to help me break your door down. He says, what do you want? He said, my name is Mr. Woodward. I'm from the school. He says, we've got a rich copper mine on the place. He says, your assayer is already running a test on it. He said, it's the best he had ever seen. He said, if I don't get at least $5,000 by noon, said, Mr. Waverly is going to take the school away from us. Mr. who? Mr. Waverly, the banker in Culver City. Why, that dirty little skinflint. He says, why didn't you tell me this? He said, I'll be right down. He slammed the window. Pretty soon the door opened. He says, that's his little game. He said, last time I talked to him, he had that smirk on his face. He said he had something real good. Stealing the school from those little kids. He said, how much money do you need? I said, well, probably $6,000-$7,000. He said, don't you want to see the report? He says, I'll take his word for it. He says, come on. As they went to the bank, the sheriff met them and so did the assayer. He said, it's even better than I thought, Mr. Woodward. Take a look at this. He said, there's no limit that I would advance you on this. The banker looked at it as they opened the door and went inside and lit the lamp. He said, hey, this is good. He said, Mr. Woodward, are you going to be able to get back in time? He looked at his watch, pulled it out of his pocket. He said, I don't know. He said, I'll have to hurry. He said, how much money do you need? I said, make it $10,000. He says, all right. He went to the vault, opened the vault, got $10,000, put it in a sack. He says, there you are. He said, you'll have to sign, I'm afraid. He said, I can do that. He signed for it. He says, thanks, we'll be seeing you later. He says, good luck. He says, that old skinflint. He says, ride. He says, yes, sir, Mr. Jameson. I'll ride like the wind. And he did. And he rode and rode. And he noticed that his horse got very worried. And he was thinking, will Hugo Barnes have a horse for me pretty soon somewhere along the way? The boys had just finished breakfast, and Hugo Barnes had already left early that morning with the horses, two of them.
Skeeter was very upset. He said, I hope that Hugo Barnes gets there.